20. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. I'll read it again. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Heavenly Father, bless our time here together. Lord, thank you for this remarkable woman. Thank you, Lord, for introducing her to me this week afresh and anew in a way that I've never seen her. And Lord, I pray that we could be a blessing to the ladies in our church, all the way from the little girl that sits in the pew, the teenage girl, that young mother, Lord, that grandmother or great-grandmother. Lord, I want to be a blessing and encouragement and a help to them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Every woman in this room is a daughter of Eve. Every man in this room is a son of Eve. Every mother descended from the mother of all living. Every woman, I believe, has a part of Eve living inside of her. This morning I want to introduce you to this first woman, first wife, first mother. I want to introduce you to your original matriarch. Today, I think every little girl will find common ground with Eve. Every teenage girl, I think, will relate in some way to Eve. I think every grown woman, mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, will discover by the time we get done that there's a part of Eve living inside of you. Men, I won't leave you out. I believe every man, every descendant of Adam, might better understand their wife if they can better understand Eve. I believe every son can better understand his mother if he will understand Eve. I believe as a pastor, I can now better help our ladies now that I better understand Eve. What a woman, what a study in victory and defeat and joy and sorrow, of purpose and praise, of paradise lived and paradise lost. Today I want to introduce you to Eve, the mother of all living, to our mother life giver, Romans chapter 2, let me introduce you. Say, preacher, who exactly was Eve? Let me go to have you look back in Genesis chapter 2. And we begin reading verse number 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And then if you'll look down at verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Who is this lady that we're going to look at this morning? Preacher, introduce us to her. Number one, she was the first woman created by God. I do want to say this and be emphatic about it. Eve was created by God. Adam and Eve were not the missing links, okay? They were not descendants from apes. They were not an evolutionary lottery ticket. They were not the latest and most advanced form of the beast of the field. They were not the Darwinian design. They were unique, first of their kind creations by an intelligent, all-wise, all-knowing, holy, and merciful creator. Amen. Be good if we burnt most of the biology books and just got back to the Bible. Amen. So number one, she was the first woman created by God. Number two, she was the best thing God ever created. She's the best thing that God ever created. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Well, if you go and look at the process of creation, everything that God created was a little better than the last thing that he created. When he got done with creating most things, he saw that it was good. When he got done created man and woman, he saw that it was very good. And I believe that God saved the best for last. You know what? Animals are more advanced than grass. Birds can sing and water can't. So look at the creation process, and it seemed like God created and created and created and created, and everything got better and better and more complex and more advanced and more blessed. And you know what he did? He saved the best for last. I said this to Matt the other day. We were fishing just yesterday, and I said, he was talking about his wife and how blessed he is. And he said, "Preacher, in so many areas, she's so smart." And I said, "Let me advance. How old are you?" He said, 30. I said, "Let me get you up to 58 and save you a lot of problems and wonderings." Matt, in every area, she's smarter than you. In every area, she's better than you. She's the best thing God ever made. You're blessed to have her. Surrender, all right? That's why God had to put him under submission. If he didn't, they would have ruled the world, amen? She was the best thing God ever created. Number three, she was the second best gift God ever gave man. The best gift that God ever gave man is described to us in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I tell our young people the second most important decision you'll make in your life. First one being receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Second is choosing, carefully choosing, letting God direct you in the choice of your helpmeet. Who you marry in life will have more long-term determination on your eventual happiness and good fortune and blessing than most anything else. She was the second best gift God ever gave man. She was made from man. Remember in the story, the Bible says that God put Adam to sleep. This isn't a fable, it isn't a fairy tale. He put Adam to sleep, he took a rib. Performed the first surgery, took that rib and created around that rib a woman. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." She was made from man, but watch this, she was made for man. So God took a part of that man, created a woman, and brought that woman back to that man. And she was made to become one with that man. Did you read that last verse? "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." There's no relationship like this relationship. Of all the things that God created for man and to bless man, woman was the best gift besides Jesus Christ that God ever gave to man. That's who Eve was. Eve was the first woman created by God. She was the best thing created by God. She was the second best gift ever given to man. Ladies, I want to direct my thoughts and my comments to you now, and I want to share some Bible principles, because as I begin to study everything the Bible had to say about this remarkable woman, I will tell you this. There began to grow within me a desire to meet her. You know, I begin to think of all the people that I said I can't wait to see in heaven, can't wait to sit down and have a discussion with. And I'll tell you what, by the time I got done with this study, Eve crept up that list. I don't think she was on the list when I started, but she's certainly near the top now. I believe that every woman has a part of Eve inside of her. I want to talk to you about that subject, the Eve inside of you, the Eve inside of you. Let me share some things with you, Bible principles that I think will help you as a woman today because of the mother of all living, because of that first woman. Let's discover some things about her that might help you. Number one, she was the first mother. The Bible uses this phrase, the mother of all living. If you look up that Hebrew word, it literally is interpreted life giver. She is the life giver. Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. All living. So all of us can find our roots back to Eve. There's a part of Eve in every woman here. Every woman descended from the mother of all living. Every mother here today came from the first mother, the life giver. I think in this woman, as we study, you'll find a kindred spirit. Eve's name means life giver. Think about this. Now think about that phrase, life giver. And so Adam was, of course, blessed with life. God breathed into his nostrils and he gave him an eternal soul. Man became a living soul. And so it wasn't that Adam was not alive, but there was more life given to him because Eve was giving to him. Eve's name means life giver. Eve brought life to the Garden of Eden. I'm sorry, but I had to stop in my office and just sit and ponder and think, what was it like in the Garden of Eden before Eve, and what was it like after Eve? All right, bachelors, think back to your life before Eve. God brought you your Eve and how drastically your environment and circumstance changed after Eve. And I got to thinking about Adam, you know, and there he is and he's working and he's doing what God has asked him to do. He was given duties in the Garden of Eden. He was given a place he was supposed to live. He was given duties. He was to dress it, to keep it. And so it wasn't like he was not doing anything, but you know what? He would go to work and prune some trees or do whatever he needed to do. And when he got done, he'd step back and look at it. And he'd look around and say, boy, I wish I could show this to somebody. And I think there was a big void in his life. God looked down and began to see how he was carrying his laundry. Oh, no, I guess that wouldn't have been an issue, but I went the wrong direction there. His dishes are stacking up in the sink. He's looking at his general, living area, and he's thinking, and this is what God said. I think he put him in the garden for a while. He kind of watched that, and he said, this is God's words. It is not good that man should be alone. He needs help. He needs help. But I got to thinking about Adam. I think for a while, the Lord allowed Adam to experience what the Garden of Eden was like without Eve. And then all of a sudden, he began to experience what it was like with Eve. And before Eve, he didn't hear that woman laughter on the other side of the garden. He didn't see all of a sudden this God gift that they all have where they came in and they have the gift of organization and they can take something that seems very plain and mundane and turn it into something beautiful and properly organized. And I think the garden just smelled better because she was there, amen. Think about the life giver, the life that a woman brings into a home. You know, and the Bible says, young men, that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, obtaineth favor of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. If you'll be wise enough to wait for God's perfect will and God brings that one to you, I will tell you this, it'll make your home into a little part of paradise. And so I thought about Eve and the life that she just brought to the Garden of Eden. I thought about Eve and the life that she brought into Adam. And all of a sudden, you know what? It wasn't just him experiencing things by himself. It wasn't just him sitting by himself planning out the next day, but now he's got someone to talk to about the next day. It wasn't just him finishing a job and standing back and looking at it and wondering whether it should be, something else should be done, but he had somebody to share that moment with. Listen, it wasn't him eating meals by himself anymore. He was eating it with his helpmeet. It wasn't him that was walking by himself in the garden. It was him and Eve walking together in the garden. And I got thinking about just the life that she gave to Adam. And then Eve brought life forth through her children. We see that eventually she becomes the life giver, the life producer. And God blesses her with two sons that we know about. We'll talk about them in a little bit. And then we see that Eve gave her life for those around her. And I got to thinking about that word life giver. And yes, she brought life to the garden. And I think she enhanced Adam's life. And she literally brought forth life when she delivered children. But when I think of the word life giver, I think of the ladies of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I think how many of them, that's a definition of their everyday. They give of their life. They give of their life to their husband, to their children, to their grandchildren, to our church, to the Lord. They are true life givers. And honestly, folks, I stand in wonderment, amazement. God's blessed me with such a good wife. And I watch her throughout a normal, regular week. And there's hardly a moment of her life where she is not giving of her life to something or someone. That's who God made them to be. Thank you for being who God made you to be. So the Eve inside of you, she was the first mother, the mother of all living, the life giver. Number two, she was the, now think about this, she was the only mother to never have a mother. Boy, this struck me. I'll be honest with you, this struck me. I spent a lot of time thinking about this and meditating on this. In this point, I felt a measure of sorrow for this uniquely first woman. Eve had her creator God. You know what? That was a blessing. She had her creator God and she had that relationship. You see, it wasn't just Adam that walked in the cool of the day with God. I think Adam and Eve walked together. She had her creator God. She had her husband's soulmate, and that was a blessing. What a great relationship, you know. But folks, listen to me. She did not have a mother. the mother of all living didn't have a mother. Think about that. She did not have a source of motherly advice. I read in Titus chapter 2, and it says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And I thought, she didn't have any of that. She did not have that. There was no Titus 2 in her life. There was no one to talk to help her navigate through the sometimes troubled waters of a marriage relationship. There was no mother to coach her through her first pregnancy. No mother to call when one of the children wheezed in the night or tossed with a fervent brow. There was no one to sit down and discuss the stages of life and the changes of life. Think about this. She had no motherly shoulder to weep on, no motherly wisdom to count on, no motherly pep talk to help her keep on. Who was there to teach her to cook or to sew or to organize or to clean? There was no childhood memories to draw from, no Christian home to pattern after. You realize, young people, are you listening? Do you realize how blessed you are? There was no example of soberness, no one to teach her to love her husband, to love her children, no example of discreetness and chastity and goodness and obedience, no one to show her how to become a lady, no one to train her how to become a keeper at home. There was no one, no Christian home to pattern after. No older sister to mess with and mimic. Eve did not have a grandmother or a great-grandmother. Think about this. All these things all of a sudden taken out of your life. Who would you be? Where would you be? No great-grandmother. There's no grandmotherly care. No one to bake cookies with or play sorry with. There's no matriarch to look up to pattern after, to mimeograph. No template to follow, no secrets shared, no recipes to copy, no family tree, no family heritage, no genealogical roots, no history to ground her. I texted this morning a friend of mine by the name of Mark, Oprindix. You say he's a good friend of yours, and I've never been able to pronounce his last name. Say, and then how do you address him? He's Brother O, Brother O. Mark is the youth pastor of the Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. By the way, his brother Todd is the camp director, what was Cedar River Baptist Camp, and now is the Kite River Camp and Revival Grounds. Our teens will be going there this summer, Lord willing. And I met his mom at camp. I used to preach Cedar River almost every year, and his mom would come down to the camp and spend an entire summer and just cook for all the camp kids. And I got to meet her. Why? Because when I go to a church camp to preach at a church camp, I will tell you that after I settle into whatever living quarters they have, the very first place that I go is the kitchen. You say, why? Because I have a plan. I make best friends with the cooks. I get to know them well. I brag on them. I learn all their names. I bring them gifts. Say, preacher, is this out of Christian love? Kind of. But I know if you keep the cooks happy, you're going to be happy, amen. So I got to know Brother Mark and Brother Todd's mom. I got the chance to talk to her, and she'd come over sometimes while we were eating at the table, and she'd sit and talk with us, and begin to ask her. Her husband was actually immigrated from Poland into... That's why I can't pronounce their last name. And Brother O. Oh, you ought to meet Brother O. He's something else. But I told her after I talked to her, I said, your son Mark, your son Todd, they're remarkable. I know she has other children I've met, remarkable family, remarkable kids. I said, when are you going to write a book? And she turned red, literally blushed. She said, what are you talking about? I said, you need to write a book. I wrote a book entitled, Did God Put a Book Inside of You? And I handed her a copy, and I said, you need to pray about this. Well, I forgot about that conversation, that encounter. About 5 years later, I showed up at Arlington, Texas to preach at the youth conference, and her husband was there, Mark and Todd's dad, the original Brother O. And he come over to me. Oh, Brother Ross, come here, Brother Ross. He said, you made my wife famous. You made my wife famous. I said, what are you talking about? My son, he's a youth pastor. The other son, he's a big shot camp director. Now my wife, she's a big shot author. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Brother O's awesome, man. I said, what do you mean she's a big shot author? She wrote a book. You told her to write a book. She wrote a book. And so she gave me a copy of it. You know what the name of the book was? Every Mother Needs a Mom. Every mother needs a mom. When I'm writing the notes to this, I'm thinking to myself, how true that is. Say, preacher, my family situation was different, and some of the things you're describing that maybe most young ladies had, I didn't have. Well, you know what? Sometimes the mom that God gives you isn't the one that brought you into this world. You know the great thing about having a church family? I said this a week or so ago, but I have a mother, but I've always, growing up in church, had church moms. I have a dad. God gave me a good dad. But you know what? I had church dads. And God gave me brothers and a sister, but I've always had brothers and sisters. And one of the great things about being a part of the family of God is sometimes where you might lack in a relationship biologically, God will fill that gap spiritually. I got done texting him because I thought, didn't she write a book? Wasn't that the name of it? And I couldn't remember. So I text Todd. Here he is trying to get ready for church and busy. And he texts me back and he said, yes. I said, what was the name of the book your mom wrote? He said, Every Mother Needs a Mom. And I said, where can I buy it? And he said, from our church bookstore. And he sent me a link. Poor guy, I'm bugging him. I couldn't remember what country his dad was from. In a little while. Hey, sorry to keep bugging you. What country did your dad come from? He's awesome. No answer from Mark. So I text Todd. Todd, random question. What country is your dad from? He said, Zimbabwe. I said, Todd. He said, okay, Poland. You'd have to know the family. Awesome. Every mother needs a mom. By the way, I got on and I ordered 50 copies. You come next week, ladies, moms, I didn't have it for you this week. Got a nice gift for you. But me and Cheryl bought that. She's just finding out about it for you. No grocery money this week, but we're going to have books. I'll give you a copy next week. Every mother needs a mom. Think about this. Eve didn't have that. You know, folks, listen, hey, sin is sin. I'm not making excuses for sin. Sin is sin. But can you just have a little bit of a heart for Eve? You think about it. Think of what she didn't have that you have. You know? Think about it. She didn't have a mom. Let me say something else about Eve. Number three, she was the only mother to have experienced paradise. I wrote this, Eve was the original author of Paradise Lived and Paradise Lost. She had the memories. Think about this. She lived with the memories of the world without sin. I want to say this, okay? When she watched the sin come into Cain's life and his lineage, she thinks she felt a measure of responsibility. Come on, I don't have to say this, but every mother in this room, if you see a failure in your children or your grandchildren, you know what you tend to want to do? You want to own that. You want to own a responsibility for that. You know, think about that. Eve had the memories of a world without sin. Eden was order and sin brought chaos. Eden was peace and sin brought turmoil. Eden was flowers and sin brought weeds. Eden was calm and sin brought storms. Eden was fellowship and sin brought separation. Eden was happiness and sin brought sorrow. Eden was blackberries and raspberries and strawberries and sin brought the thorns. Eden was fresh garden produce and sin brought the weeds. Eden was ripeness and sin brought rottenness. Eden was paradise and sin brought the curse of hell. Eve had the memories of an unfettered relationship with God. It wasn't just Adam who walked with God in the cool of the day. Eve also walked with God. Sin devastated that relationship. It cost her the sweetness and the innocence that was standard before sin entered in. By the way, when God offered those coats of skin from the first blood sacrifice, I think she thankfully and eagerly accepted those coats from God. That sacrifice bore testimony to the one day coming of her seed that would bruise the head of the serpent who had deceived her. I believe she was glad for a restored measure of fellowship with God that came with her acceptance of God's sacrifice. But I also believe that Eve knew it was never going to be the same as long as she lived on this now sin-cursed earth. Eve, I believe, was driven. Think about this, ladies. Because she had experienced paradise, I think she was driven to recreate in her home the paradise she had lost. I think that's in every woman. She lost it. She was ousted from her original home. An angel came with a flaming sword and drove them from the Garden of Eden. I wonder how many times maybe she climbed a hill or a mountain overlooking the direction of where she once lived and thought about the memories and thought about the mistakes, and she walked back down that hill saying, "Lord, I know we can't have that again, but could I have a little bit of that in my home?" I believe every woman, whether you know it or not, you should spend your life trying to recreate the kind of walk with God that Eve originally had. You know what? It's available because there has been a blood sacrifice. Okay, He now invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace because of what Jesus did to open the door. And so Eve's walk maybe was never the level of fellowship it once was, but you know what? Through Jesus Christ, until we can see Him face to face, we can have a sweet relationship with God. I want to challenge all of you ladies to try to create paradise in your home. I used to say that a good marriage and a good mother can bring some heaven into the home, and maybe I'll adjust that now and just say maybe every mother, and whether she knows it or not, is just trying to bring a little bit of taste of Eden back into her home. She was the only mother to experience paradise. I don't think she ever forgot it. Number four, she was the first mother to experience both the sorrow and joy of motherhood. Can I have you go to chapter 4 and just look at the end of the chapter there? Start at the beginning of the chapter, Genesis 1, verse 4. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, and unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Well, I want you to think about the relationship here. I want you to think about this. Think about Eve and think about this relationship and think about the sorrow that she experienced through her motherhood and through her children and also the joy that she experienced. You see, even though this is a story of Cain and Abel, and because of Cain's disobedience, of a rift between God and Cain, and because of Abel's obedience, a murder that took place. I want you to understand, although these things are going on, don't you think they're touching the heart of a mother? Through Abel, Eve experienced the sorrow of bearing a son. Think about that. Through Cain, she experienced the sorrow of watching a son walk away from God. And then we get to the end of the chapter, look at verse number 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, "She hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew, and to Seth, and to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos." Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So through Abel, you think of the sorrow, the excitement, and then the sorrow of watching the promised seed, the firstborn, slain. When it says later on that Cain went from the presence of the Lord, do you know that that tore the heart out of that mother who had gone from paradise to now watching her son as a murderer? Think that she didn't get news through the grapevine as she listened to the generations of Cain born into this world and how that they were constructing a life outside of the presence of the Lord. Say, preacher, what sustained her, Enos, Seth? Because there was the sorrow of bearing a son, and there was the sorrow of watching a son walk away from God, but there was also the joy of watching a son begin to call upon the name of the Lord, a replacement, if you will, to Abel. Seth, God's appointed, and then Enos, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So she was experiencing both of it. There's mothers in this room that are experiencing both of it. You know what? You're watching maybe part of your lineage, your heritage, follow God, and you may be watching a different part walk away from God. And you know what? The same thing that you feel Eve felt, the same thing that you're experiencing is what Eve first experienced. I want to encourage all the young people to listen to me. You bring joy to your mother's heart when you choose the right direction, you choose to give your life to God. And although your mother may put on a Mother's Day smile, you're breaking the heart of your mother when you go off into the world and live for the devil instead of for the Lord. So she experienced both the sorrow and joy of motherhood. Let me give you the last one. I believe that if Eve was here this morning, she'd offer two pieces of motherly advice to the mothers that are here today and to the young ladies. Please listen. Number one, if you haven't, accept God's blood sacrifice. Salvation makes life better on earth and signs you up for paradise, a paradise that'll never end in heaven one of these days. Number two, listen to what Eve would tell you. Trust God's word and don't listen to the devil. All he will do is lie to you and steal from you and defile you and bring sorrow into your life. I think how many times she would have said, if I just studied God's word, if I just listened to the command, if I just wouldn't have questioned, if I just would have obeyed, how would I have seen my children raised and how would I have seen my grandchildren raised in Eden? I think she'd say, trust God's word. Don't listen to the devil. Study God's word. Obey it fully, whether you believe it or not, understand it or not, get it or not. Just obey it. Stop believing that Bible obedience is robbing you of something and start understanding that sin is what robs you of something. Embrace the truths of the Bible. In every single woman, there's a little part of Eve. Heavenly Father, bless the message this morning. Lord, bless our mothers this morning. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look at this very unique woman, the mother of all living. Lord, I am anxious and excited one day to sit down and have a conversation. I think she was unique in so many ways. Lord, I pray, dear God, for our moms. Mother's Day brings a whole variety of different emotions, depending on people's circumstances and life. But I pray, dear God, that amidst everything that our moms will feel today, that they'll feel, Lord, an appreciation, a thankfulness for who they are and who God created them to be. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless our mothers and bless our young ladies as they look at the example of Eve. And as that devil, whatever form he takes, sometimes a serpent, sometimes other things, sometimes other people, as he comes slithering up into their life and try to woo them away from the will of God and the word of God, I pray, Lord, that they would be wise enough, that they'd be wise enough to listen to the words of God and obey God above anything and above everything. Lord, honor our moms today and bless them. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to let the piano player play.